Thank you so much for your time and for your participation. And I'm going to jump into the message in just a moment, but I want to give the band a hand this morning. Thank you guys so much for leading us, as always. And I want to share one other thing, kind of unexpected, and I hope this is okay and cool. Wanted to welcome home Leo Flores. So Leo, if you would stand up. I'd like all of us to stand up and give Leo a hand. He is now a Marine. Congratulations, buddy. We thank you for your service, and we appreciate you. And I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to share a story that he shared with me just a minute ago that I think goes right along. And y'all, if he's not looking happy at the end of this story, somebody come and escort me out. Preferably John, you're 6'5", come and get me. Any of you, come and get me, please. But, you know, Leo was telling me just a minute ago, he said, you know, they have a chapel and church services on the base there. And so even as I was going through basic, they would let us know it was time to come to church. And he said, I'm going to get a little emotional about it. But he said they sang the same songs as our church sang while I was there on base. And I couldn't help but think to myself, I've never gone through anything nearly as difficult as what this young man's just volunteered to go through. And I respect the fire out of that. I mean, that is awesome. And I appreciate that. But I can't imagine that there would be some difficult days. And what a great thing to be reminded that even in the darkest, most difficult, most frustrating, most aggravating, longest days of your life, that God is still there working and bringing you through. So I wanted to share that. It was a blessing to me. And then when we were singing that he was the light in the darkness, I couldn't help but think of that. Leo, I hope we're still cool. We're still good. I hugged this guy just a second ago because I hadn't seen him for a few months. And I hugged him and I was like, uh-oh. He left a boy, he came back a man, you know? And now I'm scared of him. He's a lethal weapon. He's been registered and the whole bit. So just tread lightly. Say something nice to Leo. And also just appreciate your work and all that. And it's great to see you. He may look a little different. When he left, he had a little more hair. But he looks great today. So it's great to see you. We're going to be sharing today 5 changes that change everything. And I hope that you will be here over the next few weeks as we share a few of these stories. As you heard Eric reading from Luke chapter 10, I'm going to be revisiting this passage of scripture in a minute or two. So if you'd like to kind of keep that open, I'll be referring to that in just a moment. But yes, I want to begin and kind of just share with you the kind of the genesis or the start of this in my own mind. I can't hardly believe it's 2020. I said this last week. If you were here, you know, but I can't hardly believe that it's 2020. Does that sound weird? Any of you guys used to watch stuff that was science fiction and they're like, in the year 2020, we'll be teleporting and all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's going to be awesome. And here we are, 2020. I'm not teleporting anywhere yet, but I tell you what, it was awesome, you know, to visit with my daughters over Skype, you know, which is kind of straight out of science fiction stuff. But, you know, it's funny because I've always kind of thought that 2020 would be way, way off in the distance, and yet here it is. And it is always amazing how quickly life moves, right? Now, I used to hear people say this to, you know, to me, and I thought, I don't know what you're talking about, but life does really move quickly, and the years are flying by, and the older that I get, the faster that they go, and it's just probably one of those things that you can identify with. But I even have shown this up here with the idea of hash marks, because that concept actually used to be always portrayed on prison walls, and you would see somebody kind of keeping track of how many years had gone by and how long they'd been there. Now, obviously, this is just kind of an artist's rendition, but you can see, you know, kind of the prison walls and the years that go by, and you mark them off. But I wanted to talk this year about 5 things that I want to see in myself. And I share these things not because I feel like I'm somebody special, but actually just the opposite. I have a feeling that you're probably pretty much much in the same shoes as I walk in, that some of the same challenges that I have and some of the same things that I want to see different in my life in 2020 are some of the same things that you can identify with. So we're sharing this, and I want to just kind of give you a little quick reveal here. The idea over the next 5 weeks and last week is to kind of talk about what it looks like to have a great life in 2020, and so I'm going to be going through, not in any kind of order, but you can see each one of the characteristics or the attributes is actually going to begin with one of the letters of the word great, and so you can kind of see the great year will be made up of the different things that we're going to be talking about. But here is what I would share with you and what I would remind you of, that for most of us, we forget that life is made up of moments. Now, I know that sounds really, really elementary. And of course, life is made up of moments. Of course, nobody has forgotten that. But the truth is that life is made up of moments. And if you're not seizing the moments, you're letting life kind of swing by and pass you by. Life is made up of moments. They create days, and days create months, and months create years. Years create a life. So lose the moment, and you lose life. It's a very, very interesting concept and thought, but you can't miss it and grab a hold of life for all that it is worth. And we're going to talk a little bit about how important it is for us to be engaged in the life that we live. But let me just show you this next thing. There's a great quote here as well. An extraordinary life is made up of thousands of amazing moments. So if you are a person who wants to judge me right now and say, Randy, that looks like you've been spending too much time on Pinterest, I get it. I understand. And let me give you my man card, because no man who's self-respecting can, you know, spend too much time on Pinterest, right? But that's not on Pinterest. That's somewhere else. But it is a great quote, and I wanted to share it. And here is what I would say. If you're looking for your life to make a difference and count, make it moments that count, and make it moments that are interesting, exciting, and meaningful. And when that happens, it's something that's really, really going to make a change. And you have to be very intentional about it. And today I'm going to be talking about how to make that great year that I mentioned just a moment ago. Today you can see on this next slide the G-R-E-A-T down the left-hand side, great. And last week we talked about being active in our mind and our body and all those things. But also today we're going to be talking about being responsive, when God moves in your heart that you respond rather than delay. So let's check out this next video that's up here, and hopefully you'll be blessed by it. Let's check it out.
We stand at the edge of this new year, these 365 days in front of us.
And instead of letting them blow by us, we look each of them in the eye.
And one by one,
we live them with intention.
365 days of sheer purpose.
Each lived like it's the only day we've got.
What if I live every day like no other day is owed to me?
I'd reach out to my dad, make things right before it's too late.
On my sister's birthday this year, I'd call instead of text.
I would wake up in the morning and I would ask God what He wants me to do.
I'd take those vacation days I still haven't used.
Instead of inviting her to coffee, I'd invite her to church.
Make myself get up early so I can watch cartoons with my kids.
I'd give myself a break.
I would take her to that park she's been wanting to go to, the one that's all the way across town.
I'd say I love you, and I'd say it every day.
On Thanksgiving, my table would be open to the whole neighborhood.
Mother's Day would mean more than a $5 card.
I'd let God have all the stuff weighing me down.
I'd have more courage, because I'd have nothing to lose.
I would take Jesus seriously when He asked us to feed the hungry.
Serve the very least of these.
Look after the sick.
I'd be quicker to forgive because He forgave me.
Living every moment with intention.
Taking every purpose by the horns.
Leaving nothing unsaid.
Leaving nobody behind.
Making every minute count.
I would use every hour I had on this earth.
To love God.
To love others.
One intentional day at a time.
Right. So that is how we live a great life, is one intentional day at a time. Now, last week I challenged you, if you are a person who wants to kind of get to know God's word a little bit better, maybe some of you might have remembered that I shared this with you last week. You could finish by February 1st and read the Gospel of John. For some of you, you've never actually read the Gospel of John. Now, this is one of the most powerful books and probably my favorite book in the Bible. And the Gospel of John has got 21 chapters. And I told you last week, you could begin begin by reading chapter 1, make that, you know, hey, I'm making a move today and beginning today, and you would be, maybe some of you are on this plan, I'm on this plan, but perhaps you might say, well, I didn't do that, so now where am I at? Here's where you're at right here. You can still finish by February 1st. You have to do it all 7 days now, but you can do chapter 1 today, chapter 2 tomorrow, et cetera, et cetera. And if you read just one chapter a day, you can be through with the Gospel of John by the end of this month and February 1st. So I encourage you to get in there and get involved and do it. And I would remind you that these days that we live in are so powerful and so easy because this right here can be your Bible. As a matter of fact, I know some of you today when, you know, Eric said, hey, please turn to Luke chapter 10, you grab this, not a leather-bound book that you used to, you know, carry around. You can look at this and you can see there's a couple of Bible Gateway and Bible.is. I didn't mention this last week, but these things can actually be downloaded, so you don't even have to worry about using up your data, and you can download every book of the Bible on Bible.is, I know, because I've got almost all of the New Testament downloaded and listening to that myself. So check it out. And I told you guys last week, the thing is that if you are interested and you don't want to do that plan that I'm suggesting for the book of John, maybe you say, you know what, I've read John over and over. Cool. There's Begin a Reading Plan at the bottom of the Bible Gateway app. There are lots of ways for you to get into reading God's Word. And there's no better way to grow yourself spiritually than engaging with God's Word on a regular, even an every single day basis. Now, here's what I would share with you today as we talk about being responsive to God and what He lays on your heart. Here's what I mean by being responsive. I feel like personally, what we need to do more often as Christians is when God says something to us, that we do that instead of finding reasons that we shouldn't do it or why that's good for someone else to do, but not necessarily important for me to do. I couldn't help but think of someone specifically that was a part of this church body, and they just recently visited. If you knew Josh Feldposh, if you remember Josh Feldposh when he served here, you know one thing about Josh is that if he felt like God was saying to do something, he would do it without hesitation. Can I get an amen? Y'all know who I'm talking about, right? He was with us during the Christmas holiday. He was able to share with us the day of our candlelight service, but some of you know him. Some of you have come after he left, but he used to serve here with us, and he was one of those guys that whatever God laid on his heart, he was going to do it. And I'm going to tell you something. He did something that I probably would not have done. I'll tell you, this is how serious he was about sharing whatever or doing whatever God had said he would do. Here's what Josh said from this pulpit. He said, you know, God's laying on my heart to tell you guys that if any of y'all need money and you just need someone to give you some money, y'all come and talk to me and I'll take care of that because God has laid it on my heart to do that for anyone who needs money. And I thought, what? Nobody does that. I'm talking about nobody does that kind of thing. That's who Josh was. If he knew that God was leading in his life, he was going to do it. Now, at the end of today's message, I'm going to share a story that kind of touches me and kind of cuts me deep personally because it really does involve Josh, and it was really, no doubt, God was leading in his heart, and we'll share that story at the end of today. But let's talk about being responsive to God. When God lays something on your heart, that you do that rather than delaying. And so let's check out this next thing. This is your something to learn today. We make choices in each moment. What receives our best, our focus, our time, our energy, and these things are limited resources. How many of you know that if you really, really have a lot of emotional energy expended at work, you got less at home to give to your family, right? I mean, we know this. If you've been having a difficult time, you know, kind of giving people that you love the most your leftovers over and over and over again when it comes to your time, your energy, your emotional focus, if that is going on, just understand that this is a choice that we make. It is not something that is made for us. Now, I can already hear your voice talking back to me and going, Randy, I got to work. And when they say to go to work, I got to go. I understand that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that we give our best to those that we love the most. and we give the leftovers to those that won't necessarily be there when we're facing our most difficult and dark days. Now, I'm not saying don't give your employer a good day's work and give him everything, but you know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, it can get out of balance. Can I get an amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, it can get out of balance where you give all of your focus and all of your emotional energy and all of the time that you've got, and you give more time than you have to give to your employer. But let me tell you something. A close friend of mine, people that have been here, you know who Philip Bender is. Philip Bender told me one time, he said, I told him, man, they would miss you if you were gone. This is a place that you're making a difference, you're making an impact. And Philip goes, you know what? I want to make an impact as long as I'm here. But just like taking my hand and removing it from a bucket of water, that's exactly how it's going to be when I'm gone from this place. Everything continues on, but my family, that's different. That's different. And I'm telling you, for most of us, we give God and we give family leftovers instead of giving him our very best. And because of that, we find ourselves not finding this engagement, not living in a purposeful way, giving something away that we know we don't want to give to those that we don't want to give it to. I would encourage you to understand that it's not this thing that I want to just gloss over. I'm not trying to do that. But you have to put words on something before you can make a different kind of decision. And as we look at Mary and Martha, as we look at their life and what they chose to do and how they chose to go about it, two different women in the same circumstance going in two different directions, one responsive to God and one responsive to the circumstances that she was surrounded by. Now, let's talk about Martha real quick. Let's check out this picture. Who knows who this Martha is? Anybody? On the count of three, who is this Martha? Ready? One, two, three. Martha Stewart. Exactly. And it's a good thing, right? Is that what she still says or no? I may be showing my age. I'm not sure. But Martha Stewart is famous for, oh my goodness. You know what? One of you guys brought that lemon squeezer right there at her left elbow. One of y'all brought that to the Christmas party, didn't you? One of y'all? That's at my house in my drawer, and I just got distracted because I have ADHD. Y'all pray for me. All right, so here's what happens. Martha Stewart is a person who is known for doing crazy things and being the hostess with the mostest. She has people over for dinner parties, and it's ridiculous. Let's go to this next slide. If you really listen to the passage of Scripture that Eric read just a moment ago, Mary and Martha are two sisters, and they've invited Jesus to come into their house. How many of you think that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing. I mean, you've asked Jesus to come into your house. But then, as always, the devil is in the details. The problem happens because Martha is distracted by all the preparations that she has to make. And she came to him. Who is that him that we're talking about there? That's Jesus. So she came to Jesus and she says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me. Now, how many of you guys have a sister or brother that let you do all the work? Can I see your hands? You know what I'm talking about. You would love to talk to Jesus about them. Can I get an amen, right? Here is the truth. Martha is distracted, and she's thinking the Lord knows where she's at. And so because of that, he's going to come to her rescue and put the hammer down on, you know, Mary and tell her, hey, get up, go help, right? But that's not what actually happens. But she's the one distracted. So she starts off with a good thing, but she's distracted by where she needs to put her focus. Let's go to this next slide here. This is from MarthaStewart.com, and this is her recommendation for entertaining. And this is not a long time ago. This is September 10th, 2019. Do y'all see what she's done there? She took a leaf, and she inscribed Eloise, put her name in a leaf, wrapped up the napkins and all that, and that's what her table looks like when she throws a dinner party. Now, look, if y'all have a dinner party and it looks like that, you're probably not inviting me. I get it, you know, I'm burgers and pizza, I get it, that's, you know, fine, you know, whatever, fine dining or whatnot. But I'm going to tell you something. How many of you have ever gotten involved in something where you just go down a rabbit hole that nobody really cares about, but you've gotten wrapped up in it, and you're like, oh, I can't give it up. I'm gonna go and get this leaf, and I'm gonna make it the napkin holder, and I'm gonna ascribe there. I mean, that's just silly, right? Like, you and I can fixate on stuff that doesn't matter, and the moment that it's gone, nobody remembers a single thing, right? Now, you've probably done that in your job. I ought to just get y'all to say amen, right? You've probably done that with your kids. Amen. You've probably done that with your job. Amen, right? I mean, you've probably done that in your personal life, in your own, you know, spiritual life, where you got so involved in something that didn't matter at all, and all you did was waste a bunch of time on your own, and nobody really benefited from it. You see, here in this situation, I want you to make sure and catch what I'm talking about from Luke chapter 10. Let's go to this next slide, and I've underlined and kind of highlighted some things. Oh, you know what? I didn't think about putting this one next, but this is what your mind ends up looking like, right? When you've just got way too many things going on. But if you look in Luke chapter 10, you see there that Jesus says to her, Martha, you're worried and upset about a lot of things, but only a few things are needed. Actually, only one. And Mary has chosen what is the best, and I'm not going to take it away from her. Do you hear what he's saying? That's there in Luke chapter 10, verse 41 through 42. He's saying, she has chosen what is right. Now, catch that, because she chose, and Martha did too, didn't she? For us, if we're going to ever be the person who really connects with God, we've got to respond when the door is open, when the tap on the shoulder happens from the Lord above, we've got to respond. And sometimes He is good enough to touch us and go, you know what, you're wasting your time. You're chasing after stupid things that don't really matter. I don't know that the Lord would say stupid. I would say the things that just don't matter. And when you do that, you end up with emptiness. And instead, be responsive to do the things that actually will make a difference in your life and in the lives of other people. We talked about getting things done. And actually, there's a book called Getting Things Done. And there are two things that I want to talk about with you from that book entitled Getting Things Done. It's written by a man named David Allen. It's been around forever. It's like this old classic on how to kind of organize your life. But two of the key concepts of the Getting Things Done system is single handling and closing the open loops. And I want to talk about those things very, very quickly. And I want to apply them to our spiritual life. Here's what single handling means. Have any of you guys fallen into the trap where you look at an email and you don't delete it, but it just sits there in your inbox and you go back and you go back, and you know you're supposed to respond to it or do something from it, but you end up going back and you end up doing an email like three or four times? Can I, right? Some of us, right? Okay, Paul, it's just me and you. Like, no one else in here is honest, but we are, and we know. Like, we read an email and go, I need to do something with that tomorrow. And so we put it off until tomorrow. And our to-do list for tomorrow gets a little longer. It's just me and you, Paul. But other people have heard about the two of us. They don't do it, but we do, right? So y'all just sit with us for just a minute and we'll talk. Here's the thing. The idea of single handling things in your life and my life, it's easier to procrastinate than it is to handle it once and get it done. But here is something that does not ever get talked about. The idea of closing the open loops. And that flow chart that you just saw a minute ago, your head just gets like that flow chart where it feels like you're going in 1,000 different directions and not getting a single thing done because you handle it twice and three and four and five times and you've never actually closed the loops in your life. Now, let me just talk to you about something. When God moves on your heart and God moves on my heart, I know it. I know it. But what I do a lot of the time is I put it off. And I say, Lord, I'll get there eventually, but I'm not ready to do that just quite yet. I'm going to wait. And then I wait, and sometimes I end up saying no in a practical way because I did not say yes in the moment. Can I get an amen, right? You've been there? For all of us, this is true. And this is part of our problem. We have emotional energy given to stuff that we could have solved a long time ago. And here is what you and I can know, that every time that God lays something on our heart, here is the big idea for today. This big idea is that when God lays something on our heart, he's working within us, and he's also promised that he is already out there working for us. That song that we sang, that Waymaker song, God is moving within us, but he's promising he's out there preparing details. And so when you say no to God, you're telling him you're going to wait, and the optimum time for his movement on your behalf is passing you by. That John chapter 1 that I was talking about last week, and you know, read John chapter 1. This is plan number 1. Now we're on to plan B, and it's going to be a little bit more difficult to stay on that plan than it was on plan A. Well, here is what we do constantly. We put things in our minds. We never close the loop. And so we constantly, constantly think about these things that we should be doing to be responsive to the God who is supposed to be the one who orders our lives. We call him Lord, but then we tell him no. That is not something that fits. You guys understand what I'm saying? And so if we would close these loops in our minds and be responsive at the first time, you'd be shocked at A, how much brain space you got, and how much God is able to move on your behalf. Not moving to plan B or C or D or F or G or wherever you are in the alphabet, but plan A, God's plan A for your life is for you to hear his call and you to respond and for me to respond. And I told you, this is aimed at me first and foremost, that I want to be responsive to God. When he says, Randy, do, I want to say, yes, Lord, I will. I don't want to say, I'm going to wait. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to think about that. Or even worse, Lord, I'm going to pray about that, right? I mean, oh my goodness. Like, we need to know that the Lord has already told us what to do and we're going to pray on it. All right, whatever. It makes me laugh. Anyway, here's what we need to do. Here's how we should be responding. We should respond, number one, when we're aware that God has prompted us to make a move. That's committing, that's changing, that's connecting, whatever it might be. Maybe God is even today laying something on your heart. And when that happens, I would encourage you, respond. Get on God's plan A instead of those things that are going to get wasted on your behalf. Respond immediately. And I just want to talk about this very quickly. If you look at my phone, on my phone, I have an alarm set for 10:02. 10:02, because I heard a message with a friend of mine. Some of you have met Joe Hutchinson. By the way, they just had a baby. So they're kind of a distant friend of the church. They're ministering to tons and tons of different people from refugee areas here in Southwest Houston. But he shared this passage of scripture with me in Randall University's chapel, and he shared it with all of us, but I was there. And so it's Luke chapter 10, verse 2. And so Jesus told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Now, I'm telling a story about something that I'm incredibly proud of. So I was listening and I thought, you know what? I want to go ahead and put that on my phone. He recommended that we set an alarm that recurs Monday through Saturday for me because I'm here on Sundays, and so it's a little difficult. I don't need the thing going off in the middle of service or something. But for 10:02, it tells me I'm supposed to pray that the Lord would send out workers into the harvest. Now, here's where I'm very, very proud. So I was sitting there the other day, and my daughter Tatum was home. She was in that chapel service, but we were sitting separately. And so she was home the other day, and 10:02 rolled around, and my phone went off, and her phone went off. And we looked at each other, and we had this incredible moment, because she goes, and I was like, And so we had this moment where we hugged each other, and we just took a moment, and we both closed our eyes, and we said a silent prayer together, holding our hands. And I was just so proud because Tatum responded when God said something to her. Now, I personally, I don't say that to share anything about, you know, myself or anything, but it was a beautiful thing to see that somewhere along the line, God spoke to her and she immediately responded. She took that action step and then it's still working in her life. She was responsive. I was so proud as a parent. I was just so happy. And I believe with my life and with the things that I read in the scriptures, I know what it makes, what a difference it makes when you respond immediately instead of putting it off. And you look at the Bible and it tells us, Zacchaeus, you've heard that story told in Luke chapter 19 about the little man that was a tax collector. But the beautiful thing was when everybody was talking down about him and saying he wasn't what he's saying that he was, that instead he stood up and he spoke and he said, I'm going to tell you something. If I've taken anything or stolen anything, I'm going to give it all back. And I'm also just going to give half of my possessions to the poor this very day. And Jesus says, this day salvation has come to this house because he is responding to God. And when God lays something on his heart, he doesn't delay. He doesn't try to figure out a way to not do it. He says, yes, Lord, even if it's costing me half of my possessions, I'm doing it because I want to respond to you. Now, let me tell you guys something, and I want to get real, real personal. The longer that you and I serve the Lord, and the older that we are personally, the more likely it is for stuff that is supposed to be inspiration for movement to become information for our mind. You guys understand what I'm saying? Because as I get a little older, I don't like to change. And I don't have nearly as much energy, right? And so the truth of the matter is that for all of us, it's not information for our mind when God puts his hands on our shoulders. It is inspiration to move. And I want to be someone who says, when God says to do something, I respond. I'm a responsive follower and disciple of Jesus. And very, very quickly, I think it's important for us also to respond in this time when God's principles are taking a backseat to our own desires. Now, let me just share something with you, and very quickly, this is a step of maturity, and here is what I mean by that. You and I, when we feel God's presence and we feel him in moving in us, we might be inspired to take that move. But here is where we make the decision and say, I've been reading enough of God's word to understand that I'm living my life in a way that doesn't please God in every area. And so even if he hasn't spoken to me and made me feel bad about what I'm not doing for him, I want to please him so much that my life is being examined and I'm living the principles of God, no matter whether he's putting it on my heart or if I'm just simply reading it in his word. Because the truth of the matter is that for most of us, it's hard for us to say, I'm going to look introspectively as if I were God and say, change this. Change that direction, move in these ways, and do the things that are God's principles, not my own desires. And it's very easy for me to put my desires, God's name, on my own desires. So we need to be very careful about that. We need to be responsive to the Lord. Now, very, very quickly, I shared this with you last week about doing the if-then principle. And this is something that you can learn. It's something that you can see in the Barking Up the Wrong Tree blog or also an email newsletter that goes off. But your brain and my brain think of things in the if-then principle. And your brain kind of automatically responds to this type of language. And so I shared three things with you. I'm going to share the exact same three very quickly with you again so you might get the idea of how you can program yourself into a closer relationship with the Lord, being more responsive to him. And so you say these terms, if I'm driving to work, then I'm listening to my audio Bible app. That's it. So when you're driving to work, you go, oh, what am I forgetting? Oh, yeah. If I'm driving to work, then I'm listening to my audio Bible. You know, that's what I'm doing. Or if you're looking to do something else, if you're wanting to lose a little bit of weight, hey, if it's Monday or Wednesday or Friday or Monday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever, then I'm skipping sweets and I'm having a salad, right? This is how you program your brain to begin to think differently. And this next one here, you can check this out. If it's Tuesday, then I'm skipping voluntary screen time all day long. And I share this with you because so much of our lives is since sitting in front of a screen. We go to work to sit in front of a screen, and then we come home and we choose to do the same exact thing, right? And so we got to be very careful that we're not living our lives through a computer and through virtual reality. Very quickly, how do you apply being responsive? I think you can identify one area that God is speaking to you about, and then you can write down an action that you will take to respond. There's two different blanks on your worship folder, and maybe you say, you know what, it's this area of my life, and this is what God is telling me to do. Hey, I'm not here to play the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go through this 20-item list, because the truth is it's your decision. I mean, you've got to want to pursue God, and you've got to want to get closer to God for it to actually happen. I'm not going to guilt you into these things, but maybe today, even now, God is laying something on your heart, and you say, this is what I need to do, and this is the area that I need to do it in. So write those things down and make that decision to move forward today. Now, very quickly, I want to share a story with you, and I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm doing here, okay? This is a very, very sad thing, but I'm not trying to be manipulative at all. It's just a powerful thing that has spoken to me, and I want to share it with you. I told you I would talk about Josh Feldposh for a moment, and I want to show this next image here. This image is of a very young couple that ended up getting married, and if you look real close, you can tell that that guy on the right belongs to the Feldposh family, right? I mean, he looks just like Josh. That's his younger brother, Curtis, and he married this girl here, and I believe her name was Rachel. Well, again, I want to be very careful and cautious. He passed totally unexpectedly, very, very young. He literally was working and just in an unexpected way passed away. Josh was living here in Texas, and all of his family was living in Michigan. And he came to me and he told me, he said, God is leading me. I need to move back to Michigan. And I was struggling with that because I had a hard time with it because I saw the difference that he was making here in our church. And I was like, man, don't leave. Things are just moving forward and getting better, and you're doing a great job, and you're, you know, reaching kids and all that. No. I've got to leave. I just know that the Lord is calling us back there. And I told you in the very beginning, Josh would go wherever God said go. The minute that he said go, he was ready. Josh moved back to Michigan, and within 2 years of him being back there, his brother passed very, very, very unexpectedly. Now, I share that not in any way to try to be manipulative, but I want to remind you that we talk all the time about the God who knows the plans that he has for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us hope in a future. Josh told me, he said, I know now why I was so desperate to get back, why God laid it so powerfully on my heart that we had to go back to Michigan. I got a chance to spend some time with my brother that I never would have had before. Didn't have it before, didn't have it moving forward in my life. And I think about the God who wants best for you, wants best for me. And I'm constantly pushing his best back because I'm not responsive. How many times has he wanted to do something powerful through me, or powerful in me, or powerful for me, and I pushed it back because it didn't sound like what I wanted to do, but I missed out on God's best because I said no. And how many times has that happened for you and for me? Now, I hope you understand the spirit in which I offer this story, because I'm the pastor, but I am not, by any stretch of the imagination, a guy who thinks I'm perfect. I'm inspired by other people's relationship with God. And I see there are people that know things and do things that I wish I did more of. I share this story from somebody that you know personally to hopefully inspire you to say, you know what? That's the kind of relationship I want to have. And you know what? It would be interesting if you felt God leading you to do some things. If you didn't make a note or two, somewhere, but maybe at the end of 2020, you'd say, you know what? I was more responsive than I ever had been before. And when I got that responsive, it's incredible what God began to do in me, for me, and through me. I'd be interested to see that list, because I think that for most of us, the God who wants to lead us into His very best, if we would accept and engage and be responsive, we have opportunities to really see God at work. And I want to encourage you today, make a decision. In this year, I want to be more active, but I also want to be more responsive. I think this is one of those things that can change everything in your life and mine if we begin to be responsive to what God is leading us to do. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help us all, dear God, to be responsive. When You lay Your hand on our shoulder, I pray that we would accomplish Your work and Your will in our life, that we would cease to say no and continually embrace the idea of saying yes over and over and over to You. Yes, Lord, You are God, and we will follow Your way. So very quickly, as I'm ending, I'm literally going to be done and saying a final prayer in like 30 seconds. Maybe today you know that you need to make a move towards God, that He has laid His hand on your heart and said, you need to come home. You've been wandering and you've been out there, and now it is time for you to return and for you to come home. Nobody's looking, and this is just your time between you and God, and you want to just lift your hand and say, I've been wandering, but I'm coming home. I'm coming back to the Lord, and I'm responding to His call to return. May God bless you. I thank You so much. Anyone else here today, may God bless you. Thank You so much. God bless you, and you, may God bless you. Dear Lord, You've seen our hands and You know our hearts. And as we come home to You, You are like the prodigal's father who ran to greet us. We thank You for Your love and Your forgiveness. And I pray that all of us, as we go our separate ways, would live a life this week of being responsive to You in everything that You say. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said together, amen. May God bless you as you go your separate ways.